Gentlemen, somewhat interesting halachas tonight. We're going to be completing the halachas of Siman Samach Aleph. We're going to move to Siman Samach Beis. And we'll be talking about, more about Hilchas Shema. So let's continue. When the end of Siman Samach Aleph, we spoke a lot about the Dikdukim. Do you remember the Mount Dizkru? And right now, Siv Chav Gimel is also something which is hard for us to do, really, if not for the help of the Siddurim. Siv Chav Gimel, Rabbi Yisrael tells us, "Soich ledakdek shelo yarpe achozok v'lo yichazek arofe." The sounds which are chozok, which are the strong sounds, the more guttural strong sounds, don't make them weak. V'lo yichazek arofe, and the weaker sounds don't make them strong. So be accurate about the pronunciations of the letters. What's that? Exactly. When it comes to the Shvar rules, so there's some Shvars. That's one of the most confusing rules when he learns to. The very very hard rules. In which Shvar, we know the Shvar, the one with the two dots, one on top of the other. Some of them are pronounced, some of them are not. Some of them are completely quiet, and some are actually have a sound. So, and so that's the Shvar Noch and the Shvar No. So nowadays we are pleased that it's been much easier by the contemporary Siddurim. All of them, without fail, pretty much, have make it clear which ones have to be emphasized. Unpronounced, yeah. So the rules, and I always find it so striking. These rules are so complicated. When do you actually pronounce it, when not? And we all burden this with reception boys. These complex rules, when or not, when a Shavuot is pronounced, when not. But nowadays, the Siddurim will have got either a line or they've got different methods of emphasis when a Shavuot is actually pronounced. Which art scroll does what?
Line.
What is that? The line? Is it the line on top of the Shavuot? How does it do it? The art scrolls? Yeah, it's the, what is it? The line on top, let's have a look. Let's see how they do it. Line across is the pronounced one. Yeah, there's a lot of thought going into it, how the Siddurim actually do it. They make it a lot easier for us. Yeah, here you go. Kol shvar nosha betoich ha-teva mesum bekav ma'al ois. Amecha, you see there's like a line on top. To make sure you know that it's not amcha, but it's amecha. It's a big difference. Not amcha, but ammecha. And the way they do it over here is they make a line on top. Pretty clever. Yeah. So that's how they do it over here.
How they used to do it?
I mean, no, so the olden Siddurim didn't have that. The old Siddurim, you look in the old Siddurim, I'm talking about up to about maybe 20, 30 years ago, they didn't have any distinction between the Shvana and Shvanach. Yeah. They probably did, and there was probably, on the one hand, there was probably better command, on the other hand, there was probably more ignorance as well. The ones who were more ignorant, they, I don't know, these are new. Also, the printing was much more complex than now. A lot more thought goes into it, how to print it, how to design it, a lot more goes into that, so they made it a lot easier. Yeah, so there were the ignorant people that had no clue and they didn't do it, and there was the people that had the greater command, and they knew it naturally. So that's how art school does it. Others do it differently, but it's worthwhile, whichever siddur you use, to actually, you know, look how they actually do that. Yeah, you have very nicely done. B'chol levav cha, you see that they make a line on top of the second vase.
Always when it's shva, the beginning of the word, always shvana. Always.
Yeah, so you know the rules, so you're a wise man.
I teach my son Alan before I did all that.
There you go, right.
So when you go chavik after shva, or segol after shva, it's all...
Yeah, what is the rule called? There's a name for that rule. There's a name.
There's
a name for that. There's a name which let us. Anyway, so nowadays it's made easier, and he says you should really try. You should. Shulchan Aruch says you should lo yoniach hanot v'lo yonid anach. You should emphasize the shvo according to its correct rule. Yeah. No, I think a lot of it. What's the answer to that? If somebody speaks Hebrew naturally, will he know those rules or not?
To speak, yeah, to read, no.
Will he naturally say a mecha, or will he not? Because I think that the modern Hebrew doesn't modern Hebrew doesn't have that, or it doesn't allow for that. These are grammatical rules which are what we call biblical Hebrew or Lashon HaKodesh. So it won't actually help. But yeah, so there you go. Now Shulchanuch says over here that Tzorich Likus Ki Hashma, you should read the Shema Betamim with the top. Like it's in the, you should make the top, the nigun, like it's read in the Torah. No. He makes any symbolic? No, nothing. Yeah, that's the older versions. They're those who printed in the 70s, 1980s. Those, yeah. So he says the minhag is not to do that. Mikol mokim, nevertheless, hametaktikim, those who are careful, machmirin bekach, they are stringent. They do make that nigun, that top, when they say Shema. It's very nice. A lot of people do it. It allows also for a certain slower speed. If one does it with the top, it also allows for certain dik-duk, because obviously the top is done completely in line with the grammar, with the halachic rules. So it's always going to be very, very accurate if you lane, as it were, kiyashma with the top. But again, Shulchan Aruch says, it's the minhag, the Ramah says it's not the minhag, and only the medaktikim do so. On the other hand, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Ches points out, ubelvad sheichavein, you should still have kavanah, ki hanegin lemishlo yugel b'mafsid the kavanah. If somebody just starts singing Shema, they might also lose the kavanah. So there's another extreme. For some it helps. For some, it does the opposite. If you just sing the Shema, that might also not give you the kavanah. So the point is, do it the way it helps you to say it, Aleph, accurately and based with kavanah. When you say the words, you should touch the tefillin. When you say those words, you should touch the tefillin shel rosh. And when you say urizim oisoi, when you say the words urizim oisoi, you shall see them. You should touch the tzitzis in front of you, the two tzitzis in front of you. Now, a couple of points about that. The Mishnah even adds in Sifkot Lametes, "Kshem ukshartem leoyz v'chen v'parsha shniyo." Similarly, later on, Kshemazke in Tefillin Tzorich leMashmish. The Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah points out that later, when you mention the Tefillin again, you should again touch the Tefillin. Many people have the minhag. Some people refrain and they don't do it. I think that why do some people not do it?
Why not?
Yeah, well, there are some people who don't do that. I think it comes from the olden days when the tefillin were much more softer. When the tefillin were very, very soft, you call dakas, the tefillin was soft, and therefore too much touching and too much pushing could sometimes damage the tefillin. So there were some people that were very reluctant to actually just touch the tefillin and shake them, yeah. Very good. That was my next point I wanted to address. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, you're very, very good in pointing this out. Because Chanoch's words are, you should touch, feel, sense the two tefillin in front of you. He says the two tzitzis in front of you. When you say yimashmesh, you should hold the two tzitzis in front of you. Not all four, just two. Two in front. So he holds, the Shulchan Aruch holds, you do not touch all four, you only touch two.
You have to release the
child. Yeah, good. I want to ask slightly different than what you're asking.
You told us last time you hold it like this, in between them all four, you got chop and put them in that finger.
Yes. When was that? That we said you. That's before by. That's right. But by Birkas Shema. That's what it said. You should hold. Yeah. Did you say all four? Did we say all four? All four. Is that what it said? Yeah. I don't know. Aloch is all four. I think there also there is. I don't remember exactly where it says it, but I don't remember if we said all four. Might also have been.
When you start the Shema, you just hold the two and not
The two. Yeah, Shulchan Aruch here says two. You know what the Mishnah, what Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention here? What does Shulchan Aruch not mention here? And a lot of people do.
Kissing.
It doesn't say you should kiss it. He says you hold the tzitzis, you don't kiss it. It doesn't say you should kiss the tzitzis. It doesn't say that. Now I understand why some people do that. During Shema, Shulchan Aruch says, doesn't mention at all the word of kissing. Now, I know that some people strongly dislike the idea of kissing, and they say that it might be an Indian of Hefsek. Yeah. Some people, so when you see somebody who doesn't kiss the tzitzis, it might not be ignorance, and on the contrary, it might be that he's sticking to the words of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So that's right. So okay, if you strictly stick to the words of Shulchan Aruch, you will not kiss the tzitzis. Who says?
In the Askel, it says there is a custom to kiss the tzitzis at each mention of the word tzitzis.
Interesting. That's what Askel says. Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's no question about it that many people do it. There probably is. I don't know where the minhag comes from, but there is obviously a registered minhag. That's what Askel says. I'm sure it's well sourced. But I'm just quoting the Shulchan Aruch. Let me just double check. It's a very good point. Hold on, because I think it's Chavdalet Hay. Perhaps it's over here.
Did we not say at the time?
Let's have a look. No, it says as follows. Kshimistakel tziv Chavdalet, Simon Chavdalet, we learned. Kshimistakel betzitz, mistakel b'shtei tzitzioi shelefonov. The two tzitzis in front. Two tzitzis in front. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So some people say, I think the Vilna Gaon held that because it is Abba Kanfois, no, Reb Shlomo Zalman, that's it. Now I remember. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that indeed there is a reason why we only take the two in the front. People only take the two in the front because it's Abba Kanfois, it's meant to be in four directions. If you take the tzitzis from the back and you take them to the front, you are, in a way, not destroying. What's the word? You are. You're canceling out. You're like nullifying the Abba Kanfois. There are meant to be Abba Kanfois, four directions. If you take the one in the front, if you take the two in the front, that's okay. You got two in the front, two in the back. But if
you're just wearing a cotton,
yeah, same thing. Yeah, same thing with the tissue. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Now I know that many people will take the ones in the back as well, but I. The Shulchan Aruch says you should take the two, and he doesn't mention anything. I was always curious, what's the right chinuch? What's the right chinuch to tell boys? You know, when many boys up to year 5 or 6 are davening to davening class, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? Do you tell them to take all four? Do you take all two? Because you know, it's a minhagim. Do you tell them to kiss? Shulchan Aruch says don't kiss. Do you tell them to kiss?
No, he just doesn't say.
You're intrigued because he says you should kiss. No. I'll tell you what some people do, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Some people like the idea of kissing, but also like the idea of keeping the words of Shulchan Aruch. So some people will only kiss at the end of Shema, because that's not a problem with Hefsek anymore. They will not kiss every time it says tzitzis. They won't. But they'll kiss at the very end. So perhaps. Okay, I don't know. This is probably. Yeah, I mean, we only have what the Shulchan Aruch says.
When we say Rosh Hashanah, we don't take the front two.
Yes, for the same reason as well. Shlomo Zalman says you don't take the ones in the back because you're it's Abba Kanfos. It's four directions. You can't take the ones in the back. Finally, Siv Chavov.
By the way, you take all together. It's like Abba Kanfos.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was hoping you're not going to ask. I never understood Reb Shlomo Zalman, because if you're taking the two in the front and you're holding them together, you're anyway in the four directions. Yeah, I never understood that. Fine.
Rosh Hashanah also, then we should take four. Those people who take four for Shabbat.
Probably, perhaps, yeah. Perhaps. Yesh Nayagin says the Chavav, the final thief in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Chav Samach Beis. Yesh Nayagin likus Kiyashma Bekoil Ram. Some should read, some have the meaning of reading Kiyashma Bekoil Ram loud. Yesh Nayagin likus Belachash. Some say it quietly. Some say it tafke loud. Some say it tafke quietly. Mikol Mokim Yurim Posuk Yeshim Bekoil Ram. Yesh Nayagin said in the first Posuk should be said louder. So Rabbi said, you see, there's minhagim over here. Some say it loud, some say it quieter. Now the Mishnah Berurah here discusses a question which is interesting. Can you be moiti somebody? Somebody taps you on the shoulder and he says, "Today, so finished, such a late night. Can you say Shema for me? Yeah. Yeah. Do you mind to just say, you know, as all these, you know, it's just do it for me. Does that, come on, just do it, yeah. He says, no, I'm doing myself. Okay, I'll do it, £5 and just do it for me.
Yeah, being
motzi
by listening to someone.
Yeah, can you be motzi? Yeah, you know, like when you do kiddush, yeah, you're fine to be motzi. When you do what else? When you do so much Megillah, well, you name it.
Menorah.
Yeah.
If you're doing something on the government, you can never be motzi.
But remember, we spoke about the idea that this is not really tefillah. What is this? We spoke a couple of days ago that it's a mitzvah in its own. It's a mitzvah kriyas shema. It's a reading of shema, like kriyas Megillah. Same, it's not davening, really. Intrinsically, it's not really a mitzvah of davening. Remember, we spoke about it a couple of evenings ago. It's not a mitzvah of davening. Shema has nothing to do with davening, really. Shema is a mitzvah in its own right.
What about the
so if Kiya Samagila, are you comfortable with somebody being motzi to you? You're comfortable with Kiya Samagila, so why Kiya Shema not?
What about the Kavanah?
Yeah, so, you know, so his Kavanah hopefully will be great.
I need to be mechavim.
Okay, so you'll be mechavim for the listening. You'll be mechavim to the listening. So Mishmu discusses that, and it remains a bit of a discussion as to whether that works or not. It remains a bit of a discussion. I've never seen it in practice, but it's something which in the post game is. Perhaps that would be a good idea then, yeah, somebody's really lost his voice, yeah. Rabbi Yisai, Simen Samach Beis, Mishaloi Diktek B'Kriya Shema, Oy Lishmi Le Oznoi. Avot B'Shem Mitzvah Le Daktek B'Yos Yosel, tells us the Shulchan Aruch, even though there is a great mitzvah to be medaktek, to be careful B'Yos Yosel with its word, pronounce it correctly, accurately, be specific, yeah. But what happens if you won't? If you do it a bit like blah, 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 articulation not very sharp, are you yotze or not? You are. Yeah. So he says, v'loy diktek behen yotze is still yotze. But yevet, you are yotze. So whilst, of course, you should, as we discussed in great detail over the last couple of evenings, but yevet, even without it, you are yotze. The Mishnah makes a bit of a disclaimer to that. Is that always true? So if you really say, blah, 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 will that still be Yotze? The answer is no. V'loy dek, acha eino einin shelo hizke ha-tevois v'oishis, Mishnah, no. If you didn't actually say the words, no, you're not Yotze. Shebevada lo Yotze, v'la einin, so what does he mean? Loy dek dek, u'shelo nosan revach ben advekim. What it's talking about, when are you yotze without being articulate? When are you yotze? If you didn't, what?
Didn't put enough space between
that's it.
Two words that could merge.
Exactly. Shelo nosan revach ben advekim. If you didn't stop between words, you still yotze. So, v'avadatem meiro, yeah? You said v'avadatem meiro would have been the right way. You said v'avadatem meiro. For instance, example one, Oshila hit is a zayin. You didn't do the z. Yeah, you were. Shali diz is a kuva chadoim. It was a bit inaccurate, a bit unsharp. Yeah, so these are the examples that he gives. But of course, Mishnah sentence have gotten base. You should be very, very careful. And how great is the schar? How great is, I was about to say the schar. No, it's not the zikha. How great is the zikha of somebody who does the Shema with great pronunciation? You know what zikha is given? I wonder what the middle connected middle is. I'm not sure. But listen to what it says. The Isavishas, Amedaktek Behind, Gemara tells us, somebody who is careful and is sharp and has great articulation for Shema, Schoroi Shemetzanin Lo Gehenim. Shemetzanin Lo Gehenim, the Gehenim is
cooled,
chilled off. Yeah. He has a chill time in Gehenna, as opposed to he has a chill time in Gehenna. Yeah, yeah. Why? Show mida keneged mida. It's mida keneged mida. Shema achas shema oire atzmoi beze. Listen to what he says. Since you are what's the word? Oire atzmoi beze. You are all. What's that? Yeah. Energized. Not more than motivated. You're energized. Umeniyaz chumo yativi. You heat yourself up about the Shema. Ledakdek ba'oiz yoiz. To be sharp about the words. Uvizchazeh achoy mativi. With that natural heat that you're creating. Shumeoirem. With that heat that you are creating. I find it difficult to explain. I'm not clear myself. With that heat that you're creating, against that heat that you're creating, the Gehenim gets cooled off. Midah k'neged midah kind of thing. So because you're creating heat by your energetic Shema,
you're using the heat from Gehenim for good purpose.
Oh, that's what it is. You are transferring that heat. That's it. That's what it means. Yeah. That's it. That's what it means. So you are taking that heat, which is present in Gehenna, and you are kind of transferring that through your own heat, and you are kind of using it up, kind of thing. So that's what it is. So that's the importance of saying Shema with great articulation and precise pronunciation.
You see from the lashon there that it means to be done mitzvah. It's love, not
why? Because he says the words.
Shema. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're warming to. It just means they're very particular about how to pronounce. They know the rules of dictation.
Yeah.
That, and I'm not sure that. It sounds like that doesn't qualify.
Perhaps. Like interesting.
Putting his
perhaps. Yeah. So, but this is all lechatchila, and that's a great thing to do indeed. But the avet we learned, even if you're not medaktik b'yotze, so you're still yotze as long as the words were pronounced. Okay, to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned about the importance of correct pronunciation. Even the shavas should be pronounced correctly. We also learned that some people have the meaning of reading Shema with a nigun, with a top. The medaktikim should do so, but it's not the general minhag. We learned also that many people touch the tefillin, shel yad and shel rosh, when they mention them. We learned that some people hold the tzitzis when the tzitzis are mentioned, the two tzitzis in the front. And finally, in Simon Samach Aleph, we learned that many people have the meaning to say Shema loud, some have the meaning of saying Shema quietly. Certainly the first pasuk should be said loud. In terms of b'di'evet, even if you're not medak, because the Sefer Shulchan Aruch teaches us your yotze, and however the greatness of the schab, somebody who does say it accurately is very, very immense. And the mitzanu gehenem should be zoyche to be zoyche to be mitzan and all the kiturgim on us. Bezer Hashem, and I wish you a very, very good Shabbos.